Hey, ding dongs.
How's it going, everybody?
This is Jamie Cavanaugh.
This is Richard Lamb.
And this is Explain It to Jamie.
Clarification episode.
That's right, not a real episode, a clarification, because even us two geniuses make mistakes. In this clarification episode, we are clarifying some of the stuff we said in our first two episodes, which, if you remember correctly, is Vladimir Putin, episode one, and first 10 days of Trump, episode two.
Yeah, the idea behind these is that, you know, we have a very tightly structured, series of points that we hit in every episode, so obviously we follow it to the letter, but, you know, we could tend to range a little bit and riff and go on tangents, and sometimes stuff that we wish we had said goes unsaid, or also sometimes we just keep reading about things and keep tuning into things, and we feel like we want to add on to what we've already said.
That's right. First thing I think we wanted to clarify vis-a-vis Mr. Putin is we felt like we were pretty easy on the old dog.
Yeah, we were like involved in the heady rush of our own friendship and having a good time, you know, chatting about stuff.
I also think, you know, there was a drive, certainly on my part, to like get to the bottom of some of the biases against him. And like, you know, because we're so inundated every day on Facebook with like, this is why he's bad, this is why he's bad, he's bad, he's bad, he's bad, I was really curious to humanize him a little bit. And in doing so, I feel like we also made him seem like an all right guy.
Yeah, we really minimalize what a like living actual tyrant he is. So yeah. Like, let's be clear here. Like, modern day Russia is in a very troubling place under Putin's rule. And one of the things you asked me, Jamie, early on in that episode was, so how did he turn Russia from a democracy into a dictatorship? And I kind of answered that question, but I didn't like my answer when I listened back to it. Okay. And I want to like go a bit more in depth into that.
All right, let's take a second swing at that. Richard.
Yes.
How did Vladimir Putin, Vladimir Putin would be his
Vladimir
name.
Burton.
Were he a cat? How did
oh my god.
How did Katamir Purton?
Oh my god. I love it.
How did he transform Russia into the dictatorship?
No, this is now only a podcast about cat tie-ins.
Okay.
Katamir Purton. Oh my god, it's perfect.
Yeah.
We're gonna make fuzzy dolls.
Yeah, fuck this
and
podcast.
Memes. Oh my god, Katamir Purton, could it be a cartoon?
It could be.
He would be so sweet.
I wouldn't believe it is anything but a cartoon.
Okay, so anyway.
Katamir Purton. How did Katamir Purton turn Russia into the dictatorship that it is now?
Well, he did a series of really disturbing things where the first thing he did was have the state acquire all the television networks. So the government bought all the TV networks and he was super in control of what was shown to people and told to people at all times. That was like thing number one. Thing number two was he consolidated and weakened all of the opposition political parties by like choking out how they managed to exist and choking out their resources and stuff. He like basically created a political environment in which nobody strong could possibly oppose him.
Right.
And then he started doing shit like putting random people in jail for even slightly stepping up to him, as was the case of, we mentioned one famous Russian businessman, Berezovsky, but there's another guy. This is actually probably the guy you were thinking of. His name is Sobchak.
Hey, ding-dongs. This is Future Richard coming to you from the editing booth, and I'm slightly embarrassed to have to tell you that in this clarification episode where we're clarifying the errors and omissions from earlier episodes, I made an error that needs to be clarified, and here I confused Anatoly Sobchak, the former mayor of St. Petersburg, who Vladimir Putin worked under in the early 90s, with Mikhail Khodorkovsky, the former head of Yukos Oil, who was in prison for a number of years. Anyway, I feel very sheepish. But doesn't this filter sound cool on my voice? Okay, back to the show.
Probably the guy you were thinking of. His name is Sobchak.
Oh.
And he was the owner of one of the major oil companies, in Russia. And Vladimir Putin, after he kind of dared to stand up to Vladimir Putin, this is like an example of the kind of thing that started happening. Putin put him in a forced labor camp for 10 years. This guy was a billionaire, Russian billionaire. And he's only recently gotten out, right? Like, and fled to the West. So this guy was, just for like criticizing how the government was running its economic policy and questioning Putin, was literally put in jail and forced to do labor for 10 years, right? That's the kind of shit that's going on. And when you asked at the end of the episode, you know, so it sounds like Russia's, you know, doing okay. It's true that Russia's, the mechanisms of the Russian government are functioning now in a way that they weren't during the transition to a market economy. But there's no free expression. There's no freedom of the press, right? Like, you can't just publish a story that says the government's doing bad shit. You'll get put in jail or killed, right? The people who oppose Putin have a tendency to die in freak accidents.
Oh, yeah. Or be put in prison. Even just the other day, didn't the leader opposition guy just get poisoned?
Yeah, he was, fully poisoned by, a crazy... And it's the second time he's been poisoned.
Right.
Right? It was, not the first time this guy had been poisoned.
Well, he's a guy that needs to be a bit more careful.
Yeah, about the poison shit he's been eating.
Yeah.
Everyone
sounds
keeps
like an accident-prone fella.
Everyone keeps telling him not to put the drain cleaner next to the milk in the fridge.
Yeah, dum-dum.
Especially before you put your glasses on in the morning, you big goof. Anyway.
Well, great. Okay, so... Kadyrov Putin, not a great guy.
No.
Let's be clear on that.
Yeah. And remember too, this is another thing. This was not something that we got wrong, but just something we kind of omitted. We talked a bit about how Vladimir Putin was known for being incredibly honest when he was part of the mayor's staff of St. Petersburg.
That's how I know him, as an honest old guy.
Right. So it appears, and we just never mentioned this, that stopped when he became the president. He seems to have learned his fucking lesson.
Right.
And there was actually a story I didn't get to tell about Vladimir Putin where after the mayor of St. Petersburg had fallen from grace politically and Vladimir Putin was sort of out of a job. This was before he was appointed to Boris Yeltsin's staff, which was the kind of step that brought him to the presidency eventually.
Mm-hmm.
In the late 90s, he went to this kind of resort where he had a cabin. It wasn't a resort. It's like Muskoka. It's like cottage country in Russia,
right,
where he had a cabin and he had apparently $5,000 in U.S. cash in a briefcase. And that was all the money he had in the world for him and his family. And the cabin burned down in an accident and they almost lost their $5,000. They almost lost all the money they had ever had.
Wow.
And Vladimir Putin found a cross, a Christian cross, still intact that his mother had given him, which is and he's Christian, which was a big deal in the communist country, right? The religion was outlawed. So that was a big deal to him, and the money was okay. Or he went back in and got the money. He went into the flaming cabin and got the money.
Of course he
did. It was all they had.
Judo flips elephants every week.
Yeah. And,
okay.
So it appears that everyone made fun of him because all the other people in cottage country were wealthy Russian people. Everyone made fun of him for having made no money off of all of the corruption. And it appears he learned his lesson. And now... makes a shitload of money.
Yeah, I've heard he's a super billionaire.
Yeah, he's a super billionaire.
With a bunch of secret money.
That's right. In the Panama Papers, which was the leaked tax
we
shelter
should do
information.
Something on the Panama
we
papers.
Should do something on the Panama Papers.
Because there's a lot of papers.
And they're kind of off the radar now since Donald Trump's been taking pictures of his taint and putting them on Twitter or whatever the fuck he's doing every day. I also have not thought about the Panama Papers in 6 months because I'm too busy.
You know those blurry orange photos that Donald Trump's Twitter account has been putting on Twitter?
Yeah.
Turns out, his taint.
Hey. Whereas he likes to call it Donald Jr. Oh, wait, no, that's somebody else.
No, that's a literal person.
Yeah.
Who once came out of somewhere that's close to his taint. So
now he makes a shitload of money.
Yes, yes.
He makes it because he has controlling interests
in oil companies.
Yeah, in Russian companies.
Right.
Right. He's part of, he makes their profits.
Right, right. And I thought I read that his... pretty much the whole Russian oil industry, not he has investments in the mm-hmm. whole of it, but also in the regulatory industries that regulate the oil companies
right.
in Russia. He, anyone who wants to start in oil mm-hmm. has to go through him.
That's right. Yeah. They control all that stuff, right?
Sounds like a real great business.
Well, and also the oil-producing region of Russia is, it's embroiled in the Chechenian wars. And that was a huge part of Vladimir Putin's early term as presidency, was the war in Chechnya, which was supposed to be over quickly and was a brutal multi-year like bloodbath that involved tons of acts of terrorism being perpetrated in Russia as Chechens, who are a Muslim minority, right, started trying to bring the conflict to Russia. And like one of the major stumbling points in the Vladimir Putin's very first term was this really badly handled hostage situation at this huge theater in Russia, where all these, like a group of about 20 or 30 Chechens took about 900 Russian people hostage, and hundreds of the hostages died when the what they did was they ended up flooding the theater with gas to try to knock everybody out and then send the troops in, and they ended up accidentally killing tons of the hostages with the gas.
Yikers.
Yeah, they didn't check it. It was a massive debacle.
Right.
And now the guy who kind of runs Chechnya, who is kind of a Putin ally, is himself a like brutal strongman who recently made his two children fight in a mixed martial arts competition.
Against each other?
No, against other people.
I will have one children.
Yeah.
And we will find out who.
Who will be the real child. Right. No, so he is essentially now in this alliance to exert control over the Caucasus oil region with this like really fucked up dude.
Okay. Well,
anyway.
Yeah. Was there any doubt that Vladimir Putin is not a total piece of shit? No, not anymore. Rest assured, all of what we said last time is pretty well true, and this
now we're just clarifying.
Yeah. Next on the agenda, old Donnie Trump, 10 days. Some clarification on that.
Yeah. Now, I mean,
this isn't so much clarification as it is advancement. We're learning as we go here, and we sort of understand that, especially compared to the Vladimir Putin thing, is so current that, you know, in the time that it takes us to edit together an episode and push it forward, things advance.
Yeah.
And so you have some things you want to say with that regard.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I really want to go back and touch in that episode is that, it turns out a lot of the stuff we were saying was right. And I mean, I was just, you know, I'm saying stuff that other smarter people have said about me, but a lot of that stuff has been confirmed, especially the stuff about
how... You can't see this, but we are both wiping dust off of our shoulders right now.
Dirt off your shoulders. This is going to become a hip-hop podcast now, where Jamie and I just soullessly recite in robotic metric time top 40 hip-hop songs.
Yeah.
Also incorrectly, I believe. Those were also not the lyrics.
Yeah. In West Minneapolis, born and raised.
Oh, God, it's happening. So it turns out, yes, Steve Bannon was largely responsible for the Muslim immigration ban. And yes, he did not clear it with people and insisted on the unconstitutional things about it being forced through. Everything that was theorized about how disorganized and fucked up it was are true. And all that stuff has been thought to be true.
Shout out to my man, Steve Bannon.
he's kept it real for me since the early days. He cast me in my first play, which was a staged musical adaptation of Mein Kampf.
Oh, God.
Too soon?
Yeah, well, not too soon. I just like fear people coming in partway and being like, wait, who are these guys?
People do that. People like download a clarification episode of a podcast and then like just fast forward.
To 30 minutes in?
They just fast forward somewhere in the middle and they're like, I'll just start here.
Yeah, this is perfect. Whoa, are these guys?
That person has Velcro shoes that they still don't put on correctly.
Yeah, you cross it like a fucking monster.
Yeah. And the only other thing I really wanted to touch was I was pretty hard on the Democratic Party for not providing a cogent enough opposition, a strong enough opposition. Since the big protests at airports all across America, the Democrats have sort of stepped up their game a little bit. Mm. But I want to be clear, too, that like the Democrats... You should not have a huge amount of faith in the Democrats that are there. And if you're in America, you should be seriously thinking about other people to step up and be your political flag bearers right now. Because the Democrats who are in power, who are part of the establishment and who have been there for a long time, are the people who are hugely responsible for all the shit that you guys are in right now. Because especially the big thing is they're powerless to stop these appointments, right? Especially Jeff Sessions, the hideous, cartoonish, racist attorney general, and Betsy DeVos, the, like, actual idiot education secretary who's I think it's brother or brother-in-law is the founder of the mercenary company Blackwater, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these people who are unqualified for their cabinet positions, the reason that they're able to be qualified is because the Democrats changed the Senate rules under Obama. It used to be that you could filibuster an appointment if you had they needed 60 people, the supermajority, in order to break a filibuster. But now you just need 50. And guess what? The Republicans have 50, so the Democrats are helpless to stop them. And they made that rule change. That's their fault. So be skeptical of the Democrats. Look for alternative voices.
Burn the whole thing down.
Burn the whole shit down.
Yeah.
California, you're cool. you can exit. We'll still come hang out with you. Rest of you guys, figure your shit out.
great. Is there anything else you want to clarify?
No, I feel pretty good. That's kind of what was on my mind.
Great, guys. These clarifications will be coming out regularly because the news moves fast and our editing moves at a certain pace.
That's right. And if you have stuff that pokes out for you that you wish we could touch on more in episodes that we've done, feel free to leave us a comment, send us a message, or send us an email.
Or a tweet. Yeah, because that engages the whole world.
Yeah, explain it to Jamie@gmail.com, Twitter @ExplainJamie, or on our Facebook page.
Explain it to Jamie.
Yeah, leave us a comment, and we'll make sure we take a look at it and hit it in these future clarification episodes.
Yeah, please, and don't be afraid to like, share, and subscribe.
Please.
Explain Jamie clarification.
Thank you.